Good afternoon, everyone. It is AK. I know it's been a while since I have made a podcast. I was getting notifications from Anchor, and I went and I saw that I've had quite a few listeners. So at first I was discouraged because no one was listening, but now I actually have listeners. So thank you for listening. So as I said in my last podcast, I was going to talk about Japan and World War II with my kids, my students. So one of the things that I did was I created my own little worksheet that I had them read the paragraphs and answer questions. It was opinion questions. So basically, I told them how, they obviously knew the two bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were dropped on Japan by the U.S. But I also told them about the early 1930s when Japan and China first started having their thing going on. So I told them how Japan invaded Manchuria, which was a region in China. And then I told them how, I apologize, I'm actually reading what I wrote and what they wrote. Let's see. Oh, I talked about the Yalta Conference and how one of the things that was agreed upon between the big three, which would be FDR, Stalin, and Churchill, was that the Soviet Union would declare war on Japan once Germany surrendered. So that was already, you know, set in place. The atomic bombs were dropped on Japan about a week before the Soviet Union was supposed to go to war with Japan. So I asked my students, I said, why do you think that is? And a lot of them said that they feel like the United States did it because they wanted to end the war. Some other people said that they felt like Truman did it because he was upset that he knew nothing about the Manhattan Project until FDR died and he was sworn in as president. So I also told them about how the timing didn't add up for me. When I was a kid, I would ask a lot of questions, and teachers hated me because I would question what I was supposed to take as truth. So I talked about how the first bomb, you know, dropped on August 6, 1945, and I did research and I saw that Tokyo didn't even know like the extent of it until August 10th. The Nagasaki bomb happened on August 9th, and they weren't aware that happened until, you know, later in the afternoon. It happened early in the morning. So once these bombs were dropped, Stalin got wind of it and was like, WTF, you know, like, we agreed I would go ahead and go to war with Japan. So Japan was, you know, surprised at what was going on, obviously. And one of the reasons why they didn't surrender is because the Soviet Union was still an option. They believed that the Soviet Union, Stalin in particular, would help mediate a peace agreement between the U.S. and Japan to end the war in a different way. But once the bomb dropped, Stalin went ahead and declared war on Japan. So when he declared war on Japan on August 8th, they were like, are you serious right now? Okay, there goes our one shot of, you know, the one person helping us, we thought, to peacefully end this war. And I told the kids what really happened, why the Japanese surrendered, was because once Stalin declared war, I think it was like midnight on August 9th, so before the second atomic bomb dropped, he sent 1.5 million troops into Manchuria, which was, again, the region that Japan had controlled in China. They were not prepared for that. In the beginning, they signed a non-aggression pact, which basically promised that they wouldn't go to war with each other, they wouldn't bother each other until at least 1946. So Stalin broke this agreement, and this happened in 1945. So the Japanese were taken off guard, not only by the atomic bombs, but more so the betrayal of the Soviet Union. And I was doing a bunch of research over this, and I was reading different Japanese authors. They were talking about how it was less embarrassing to say that this nuclear weapon, you know, new bomb that's never been made before, is what caused them to surrender, rather than saying, you know, we got double crossed and that's why we surrendered. I actually read a book by a Japanese World War II survivor, and he kind of said the same thing. Let's see. So some of my kids had really good analyses. So, oh, one kid, he really went in on this. He said the claim that the United States dropping the bombs ended World War II exists because they felt like they could validate the use of the bomb, and it also serves to centralize history on a white savior concept. That was really deep. These are high school kids, guys. I thought that was a really deep analysis of that. Another thing that was said was that, I'm sorry, I'm still reading it. Oh, that Stalin used a tactical approach because he did not deny the Japanese the notion that he would help mediate those peace talks. One of the questions that I asked was, why do you think Stalin pretended to be a mediator between Japan and the Allied powers instead of just declaring war in the first place? And a lot of people said that because they knew that the Japanese were kind of counting on them at some point, that it would be a way to do a sneak attack to completely take them off guard. Let's see what else we got. Again, a lot of it was opinion, and I try to use critical thinking with my kids because history, anybody can memorize dates and times and people, but can you critically think and use the concepts that we have learned about to formulate your own opinion? So that's pretty much what I try to do with my classes in general. Because, again, nobody really tries to make you think in history class. It's memorize this person, this day, here's what they did, and keep it moving. So another thing that someone said was that the strategy with the Soviet Union was, if they basically, you know, had the sneak attack on Japan, they would be discouraged and they would automatically accept the defeat and surrender. One student said something about how they felt like the United States dropped the bombs because they felt like, you know, they should be the ones to end the war, quote unquote. But one thing I learned about reading another book, I forgot the name of it. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but basically that book talked about how in 1941, Hitler broke the non-aggression pact that he had signed with Stalin. Of course, he broke all of his pacts and agreements with everybody, which is why the Soviet Union ended up on the side of the Allies. But one thing that happened was he broke the agreement by attacking them, sending troops in, and the Soviet Union fought the Germans by themselves for about 3 years with no outside help. So then the Soviets decided to take the fight back to Germany in 1944, 1945, and that's when all the Allied powers jumped in. So it's kind of like the Soviet Union does not get the credit it deserves in ending the war. So it's like, for instance, Eisenhower, you know, one of the top generals, oh, he helped end the war. Well, the Soviets were fighting the Germans by themselves for like 3 years, so where were you guys at when that was happening? And then not only that, but it's like the United States had the nerve to engage in a Cold War with the Soviet Union right after that. Some kids felt like if FDR hadn't died, maybe the bombs would have never been dropped, because FDR, while he didn't agree with Stalin politically, he was trying to find a way to peacefully end the war. So if he was looking for a peaceful way to end the war, he wouldn't necessarily look at dropping the bombs. And I feel like the agreement with them, with Stalin invading Japan, I kind of feel like he did that maybe because they wouldn't have to use the atomic bomb if the Soviets had invaded Japan and declared war, because they were already afraid of that happening. So of course FDR had to die, you know, right before the war ended. I think it would have been very different how it played out if he'd still been alive. Another thing that we talked about is the economic differences, how, you know, the Soviet form of government was generally, you know, communist, and the Western world, you know, US, Europe, the other allies were generally democratic. and how we didn't see eye to eye with politics. And I kind of feel like that's, I mean, some of the kids have had this analysis too, that that's kind of why this whole thing popped off, because we didn't see eye to eye. And so we were in competition with each other. Obviously, you know, we know what happened. The Soviet Union broke up into 15 different countries, and they've pretty much, you know, had their own thing going since 1991. But a lot of kids compared it to China. We actually talked about this today, because we started studying the Cold War, actually today, my U.S. history classes. And they compared it to China, which I thought was a really good analysis. And they said, you know, how China is advanced technologically, you know, they're basically competing with the U.S., you know, to be the top superpower. And they thought maybe we would have another Cold War, but it would be with China this time. And I told them, I said, well, that's good in theory. I said, you got to think about it. We're China's biggest trading partner. And I said, so why would you bite the hand that feeds you? And I said, as an example, my entire outfit that I'm wearing right now was made in China. I ordered it off Wish, you know, I know it came from China. And I said, so the fact that the Chinese are making money off of us, why would they go to war with us? And they were like, well, they still would go, no, honey, no, they wouldn't go to war with us. So I wholeheartedly believe that as long as China's making money off of us, that they're not going to touch us. And then he brought up the subject of North Korea. And so had a whole discussion about that, basically telling them, you know, how North Korea is not going to do anything because China gives them about 90% of their aid. So since China basically controls North Korea in that sense, they even let people cross the border and come work, you know, from North Korea. They control the country in that sense. North Korea trying to do stuff to the U.S. would mess with China's money. And China doesn't have time for that. I feel like China would blow North Korea off the map if they tried to do something. Well, I guess not really, because then South Korea, and that's the DMZ, and then that's the United States, so it caused a whole other can of worms to open. But I told the kid, I said, you know, this whole China-North Korea thing, I said, you know, based on the facts that are, you know, that are happening, I mean, Econ 101, that I don't think that anything would ever happen, you know, as long as our factories and our jobs are located in China. You know, my iPhone that I got is made in China. Everything's freaking made in China. So I feel like as long as we have that relationship, nothing's gonna happen. Now, if it were to miraculously be like all of our jobs came back from all over the world, everything was made in America again, and we were self-sustaining without any outside, you know, influence, then maybe something would happen. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, if ever. I mean, it's kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it's like, we have a complicated relationship with China, and we probably always will. So let's see, what else is there to say? I feel really bad. I was on spring break for 2 weeks. We had an awesome 2 week spring break. The way my school is set up, we do a balanced calendar. So after every 9 weeks, we have a 2 week break. And then the last 9 weeks is the summer break. So I spent the week, you know, grading, 2 weeks grading papers. My mom got married. There's a lot of stuff going on. And again, I also hadn't had any listeners at that point. So I was still kind of like, well, what's the point in doing this channel if, you know, nobody's going to listen to it? So I kind of felt like I was talking to myself, to be honest, which was totally okay, because I talk to myself anyway, as most people do, except now it's recorded instead of just me having a conversation with myself. But yeah, so when we got back to school, we kind of reviewed World War II, finished up, and we started the Cold War today. And a lot of kids are really interested in that as well. But a lot of them are still like mind blown about Japan, you know, and the Soviet invasion and everything. And they said that makes more sense. Everything makes sense now. Why are they just all of a sudden, you know, just surrendered? And I said, yeah, you know, if you really do research about it, there are, I think, 67 or 68 other cities that were firebombed by the U.S., and all of those deaths totaled together was more than the atomic bombs. So if they didn't surrender after that, why would they surrender after one bomb? I mean, when it comes to war, you know, people are generally collateral damage, especially if you're out for your own self-interest. You know, you're not going to care about the citizens of your country. That's not, you know, if they die, you know, oh, well, that sucks to be them type of thing. So a lot of them were, you know, really just engrossed in that concept, and they said that they like history because I kind of talk about things that might be controversial, you know, not what you're being taught in school, that type of thing. So the running joke is the feds are going to snipe me. And the person that came up with that, I said, you know what? I said, if the feds were going to snipe me, they would have done it already. I said, I've been like this since I was a kid. So that's the running joke that we have. And I told them, I said, you know, if I don't come to work the next day, the feds probably snipe me. So I think that's about it for this episode. It's a lot. I talked about a lot. And I do apologize if I'm stuttering and mumbling and pausing and all that kind of stuff, because I didn't like write a script or anything. That's doing too much. But so it's kind of like I'm just talking off the top of my head. So just bear with me. Again, I'm very new at this. This is my, what, fourth episode, I think? Maybe five? I don't know. But all right, so this is AK signing off. I will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening.